When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome to Living Well. We are so thankful you joined us for finishing up our segment on boundaries. We talked about boundaries with parents and adults last show. And now we're going to talk about boundaries with children today. We have a child specialist and adult specialist, Sharon Stevens, who's here from Cornerstone Counseling Center. And she's going to talk about boundaries with kids. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you.
Can you give them a little bit of an idea of what boundaries, the term boundaries, actually means?
Boundaries is another word for limits. And so when you think of a physical boundary, like a property boundary, then that is setting a limit on, and it's also denotes ownership. And so time can be an example of a boundary. You're supposed to report to school or work at 8 o'clock. That's a boundary. Mm-hmm. Saying no. So words can be used as boundary. So no, this is not acceptable. So it's a way of setting limits.
Okay. So like for children, since we're talking about parenting and boundaries with kids today, a good boundary would be the rules that we set.
Yes.
For the children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the rules in the house. So that's what we're thinking about today. It gets a little more complicated when we're talking about adults, but we're going to try today to just talk about parenting, the goals of parenting, and how you set those boundaries with kids, really how you go about setting them. That's your job today to fill us in on that, and I'll help you along. To start off, what would you say truly is the goal of the parent? It's such a misconception sometimes, parents' job. Can you give us an idea of what truly is the goal?
Well, there are three main roles that a parent serves under, and that is to be guardian, to provide protection mm-hmm. and a sense of safety for the child. That is not only protecting the child from things that can harm him from the outside, but sometimes protecting the child from himself.
So and from the outside and from the inside, from himself.
Yes.
Okay.
If we give a child too much freedom to make choices for themselves, then they could make decisions that could cause them harm.
Right.
So, but if we are overprotective and set too many rules and too many limits, then they could develop a sense that they are not very competent. It would cause them to not have much confidence in their ability to do things.
So is that still a concern? Is the guardian area?
The guardian area is balancing a sense of freedom and limits.
So we're protecting them from themselves and from others, safety, food, shelter, clothing, all that, and then also making sure that they follow the boundaries? What does that come under?
By providing a structure and limits, it gives them a sense of safety.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are not given structure and limits and rules that provide that sense of safety, then they can have out-of-control behavior that causes them problems.
You know, it's really interesting. We moved out on some land, and we had our animals. And until we got a fence, they stayed on the porch. They did not move from the front porch or the back porch. And it was about a month. And we thought that was really, really strange. And until we got the fence up on the acreage, they didn't leave the porch. That's now they go and they get as close to the fence as they can. Yeah. And I guess they do feel much safer. And that's when I really saw boundaries, truly, that it does feel safer. And it seems, you know, there was a time when we thought, you know, it's absurd. We give them rules, you know, it seems confining and controlling. And it would be better if we didn't do that, if we just love the heck out of them. Love them, love them, love them. And look what's happened. So it is better with boundaries. They do feel a sense of safety because they know what to expect. Right?
Yes. And it may seem as if the child doesn't want boundaries because they want a freedom to do what they want to do.
Right.
But as a parent, it's our job to know that we know better than they do what's best for them, and that those boundaries, those rules for safety, really do help give them that sense of security and protection, and that you care for them. To not give them boundaries that help protect them, even from themselves, would be not to be loving towards them, because you are maybe not wanting to set a boundary because you're afraid they won't like you, they'll get mad at you, or that you can't stand to see them be disappointed or in pain, suffer the consequences. Then you're really avoiding the work of parenting and setting boundaries.
Because you're trying to be a friend, which is another whole topic.
Yes.
If they're trying to be a friend to their child, then when they're child is unhappy with boundaries that were being set, the reaction would be to remove those boundaries if you're just trying to be liked and be a friend.
Yes, and then you're teaching that child something that does not really give that child a sense of reality, the way life really works. Is in essence, you're teaching your child, okay, well, if I protest enough, then rules and limits can be changed, so I don't really have to follow the rules of life.
Right.
So guardian is one role that parents have. Another role that parents have is as manager. They're to help manage the resources and the freedom and the consequences so that things can get done. So they can teach a child how life works by helping them manage their time for getting to school on time, doing homework, planning ahead, getting chores done. And they want to give them privileges and give them resources to do what they need to do. But they want to manage that for them to make sure things get done.
And I guess a manager would be the one that says, you know, you have a choice as a child. You can make up your bed before school, because we go through this, or not make up your bed before school. If you make up your bed before school, I'll put a special treat in your lunch when you go.
Yes, that's a good example.
And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, because I'm really trying to teach them that it saves them a lot of hassle, and it teaches them self-control, and we prefer it. And so we try to reward the behavior that we want, but we don't force that behavior. So, and managing that can be tough.
Yes.
You know, to figure out a way to motivate them without punishment, without consequences all the time, but to make it more of a choice. You can do this, you can make your bed, or you cannot make your bed. You can do your homework when you go home, or you cannot do your homework when you're home, but this is what happens if you don't, and this is what happens if you do. So that's where the management part really falls into.
Yes. Okay. And the reason that's important is that parents can seem to think that what the goal is to control, be in control of their children, so that their children are well behaved. Whereas the true goal of parenting needs to be teaching the child self-control. And you can do that by assuming the role of manager as a parent, controlling the resources. And then you can indicate, okay, as you said, if you choose to do this, then this happens. If you choose not to do this, then something else happens. And then you're letting them make the choice, and they're having to develop a sense of self-control in order to get the things done that need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And what structure you provide on the outside while they're a child, then they begin to internalize and develop self-control. You provide control on the outside, structure for choices to encourage good choices, and that develops into self-control.
And you know, this fits so well. We had a guest on, Danny Hart, who was a child specialist, and he talks about teaching the child self-control and giving, he had stairs, steps of discipline to apply when they were misbehaving. But either way, the child had a choice which consequence they got. They could either go themselves and just be okay and come back, or if they couldn't or wouldn't, then they'd move on to the next step. And it was all about self-control, and that fits in really well.
Yes.
The most important thing in this, it would seem, is what the consequence is and what the reward is, because they have to be truly worth it to the child to want that reward. And knowing, okay, I have a choice, it seems like they would have to test that a while before they realized, okay, I really don't like this consequence. The reward is a lot better.
By managing it rather than trying to control it, mm-hmm. you need to provide incentive, positive incentives for the good choices and negative consequences for their poor choices. And you essentially manage it by making the negative consequences strong enough that it encourages them for good choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good if the consequences are appropriate for whatever the issue is, so that they learn something about reality, how life works. And so if they don't plan ahead, then they're not going to have the resources they need
mm-hmm.
to prepare a science project. They're going to be limited. And that's the way things would be in real life.
Right.
Whereas if a parent bails them out, then they could go through life expecting people to always bail them out, that they don't have to plan ahead because there will always be there someone there to help them figure
yeah.
things out.
And we talked about this a little bit with the boundaries show we did before, whereas any time you remove the consequences from somebody, they don't know the consequence. They haven't felt the pain, so they almost have to repeat the mistake again and feel the consequences before they learn. So anytime you remove it, you're removing a learning, a teachable moment
yes.
from them.
Yes, and it's much better for them to learn that as a child, either from a missed lunch because they forgot their lunch money
mm-hmm.
or a missed opportunity to go to Six Flags or Wet n Wild, than to lose it from a consequence of losing their job or
yes.
are losing
get put in
their
jail.
Marriage.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend who had speeding tickets, and he's young. He's a teenager, and we were all thinking, when's he going to pay those tickets? And he basically just really believed he'd get away with not paying them until he was ready, and he used his money doing other things. And finally, he did get pulled over, and they ran his license and found out he had speeding tickets and a warrant for his arrest. And he got arrested, and his parents wanted to bail him out so bad, but they didn't. They left him there for 2 days, and then they ended up letting him go, but he has probation. He has work to do to pay. I guess he has time to pay it back with a payment plan. And I asked him the other day, so are you ever going to not pay a speeding ticket again? He said, no way. You know, but if his parents had bailed him out immediately, which he thought that they would, because they really always bail him out, he would have done it again. I know he would have. And it's hard when it comes to something so extreme. And yet, the way he learned from that was to sit in jail for a couple of days, which I know I don't want to do. You know, some people can learn from watching others, which I wish I always learned that way, but I don't always. Sometimes I just have to get through it myself. And so we do our friends and our families a service by not removing those consequences.
Yes.
I have to remember that.
Now, that's one problem of removing the consequences. The other problem can be a parent who is too controlling,
mm-hmm.
Too much of a disciplinarian, to the degree that the child never feels like they have choices. They have to do what the parent says. And so sometimes you have a very obedient, compliant child up till the time they get out from under that
right.
parent's control, and then they've not developed self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So then they don't know how to limit themselves because they don't know how to handle this newfound freedom where they're no longer under the control of their parents.
Which isn't reality. That's not teaching them reality.
No.
And, you know, I know we see it a lot with clients who their kids are in, you know, they protect them from everything. They're in private schools. They have so many boundaries around them. They almost can't breathe, especially as teenagers. And they usually always want to go to a public school. And I've seen it so many times when the parents believe, well, I can let them go to a public school. It's getting kind of expensive. They have a really good foundation in the Christian world, and we've set rules, and they really know how to live. And as soon as they get in that public school and they get some freedom, they just go ballistic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to say to them, okay, so were all your choices and morals and principles your parents, or were they yours? And they said, I just did what they told me to do because I had to. I didn't get to make those choices. I didn't get to have those freedoms. It wasn't, they didn't realize this is, the parents don't realize by letting them choose and seeing the rewards, the consequences of life, even as a child, that as they grow up, you keep those and you live that way and you learn to make good choices instead of somebody making all your choices yes. for you. Mm-hmm. We are going to go to a break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll talk about the other parent's role. What's the third one? There's a guardian and then a manager.
And the source.
The source.
Providing
okay,
and meeting
back.
Their needs.
Okay, we'll talk about how a parent can be a source. And we'll see you in just a few minutes.
The long-awaited history book on North Richland Hills is now available. This beautiful 500-page book is rich in family history and tells a story about how a small 19th-century settlement has become the third largest city in Tarrant County and one of the greatest cities in Texas. It's North Richland Hills. Pick up your copy today from the North Richland Hills City Hall Water Department, the Richland Hills Tennis Center, Critter Connection in the North Hills Mall, and at the North Richland Hills Public Library. For more information, call 581-5700.
Hi, welcome back. We are just finishing up with parenting. We had talked about the parents and how they set boundaries, the goals of the parents. We started off with being a guardian and then being a manager, and now we're finishing up source, the parents as a source. What does that mean exactly?
The parents need to be the source of where the child gets their needs met. They're providing a home, food, clothing, and other things that children are going to need. But they need to balance. It's a balancing act again. Balance the resources with limiting resources so that the child can develop a sense of gratefulness or thankfulness. If not, if a child is always given everything they think they want or need, without any limits, mm-hmm. then they can develop an attitude of entitlement.
Right.
Yeah. And ungratefulness.
Yes. Which, can you imagine that? Sharon and I are always doing boundaries and working with boundaries with kids, with clients. It's one of our favorite areas to talk about. And when you start talking about kids feeling entitled, I'm always amazed at how much, even for how long I've been setting boundaries with my kids, how entitled they feel at times and everything. I mean, especially TV after school. I saw it yesterday. They think they have to watch TV after school, and they deserve it, and it's expected. You know, I'm using it now as a reward that, you know, they come in, they get their homework done the first 30 minutes, then they can watch TV, and they are just like, I can't even believe it. So things that we've taken for granted, people who don't have all those things today, we see a lot of people who don't have much, and those kids don't expect that. They just don't have that. And yet we're so used to just thinking it's, you know, just the basics. But you can use any of those things as rewards.
Oh, yeah. And one area of entitlement for those that are hitting the teenage years seems to be when a teenager hits the age of 16,
mm-hmm.
then that means I can drive. So,
or get a car.
Mom, you have to get me a car.
Right.
I can drive, so I need a car.
Right.
And instead, it's good for them to have a sense of wanting is a good motivator.
Right.
So they need to be motivated by what they want to be willing to do things to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to keep them motivated through life to work for things that they want, work towards things that they want.
And, you know, parents, that is so hard because these days so many children have cars when they're 16. And so they look around and they're just following example. You know, everybody else has them. But I know that I did not get a car. Almost all my friends had cars. And so they drove me to school. And in college, I didn't get one until like my second year of college. And I had to work to have the down payment. If I could come up with a down payment, which was like, you know, $1,200, which to me sounded really absurd, my mom would help pay the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got that car, I mean, it was old. The doors were almost full. I mean, it was not a good car. But I felt so special and so thankful that I had been able to come up with the money and for my mom to help me with that. And you just don't see that much anymore. You see kids when they're not getting it, angry.
Yes.
Truly angry. Because the precedent hasn't been set along the way to show them they have to earn things like that. Mm-hmm. They don't just get them. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden at 16, you go, you have to earn a car. They're like, excuse me? So you just kind of have to set it as you go.
So it's just good to be aware as a parent that it, one of the goals is to help your child develop a grateful heart, mm-hmm. and not to just feel entitled to everything, getting automatically everything that they want or everything that right. they need.
That would mean a lot of teachable moments, though, yes. from the time they're very small.
Yes.
Because from the time they're very small, they get the gimmies at the store, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to go ahead and get them like a little piece of candy. And we think it's being a good parent then, but you see by the time they're six and they're, you know, screaming and yelling because you're not getting them some at the store that you've probably given them too much.
Yes.
Too often. Mm-hmm. And we were just at Kmart last night and my kids didn't ask for much and I thought, I can't even believe it. Because usually no matter what store you go in, there's something they want. And Katie's like, well, maybe if I could have a lemonade stand with some cookies, I could make a much to get a kitty. It was like $17, a stuffed kitty. And I thought that was really neat, but it's been a long time. And still, you get in that checkout line, there's candy. Candy's probably the toughest one for us, yeah. you know, on the way out. But
strategically placed at the mm-hmm. checkout.
Now, as far as the consequences go, the boundaries, the rewards, exactly what is the formula or how would parents set those? How would they go about that? What are some ways to do it the best way?
Well, it's good to realize that children are not really going to like limits or boundaries, and that in setting the boundaries, it's going to be good to be clear about what that boundary or limit is,
mm-hmm.
and then to expect, just to expect them not to like it, either to maybe get angry or just be disappointed and sad about it. And then it's good for parents to empathize with those feelings. Yeah, I know it's hard. I know you don't really like this. But then be firm. But you are going to have to do your homework before you can go mm-hmm. outside and play.
Mm-hmm.
And so the formula really is setting the boundary, empathizing with them.
Mm-hmm. Empathy.
Whatever feelings they're having. Yes, I know it's tough. I know you don't like it.
Right.
I know you wish you could go swimming before you did your homework. But then to stand firm. And the fourth part of the formula would be, if they are not cooperating with the boundary, then there needs to be consequences. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be important to follow through with whatever consequences you set if they are not honoring the boundary.
And the consequence truly has to be something they feel. Yes. And that depends on the age group. No matter what your boundary is, no matter what you're going for, the consequence, they have to feel that pain. With teenagers, it's so different when little kids. I mean, teenagers, you've got the pager, the phone, friends, car, and there's so many things that are different with little children, TV time, snack time, desserts, you know, things like that, any of those. But the way you can be empathetic, I know, for us, is I've really come to understand that it is truly the child's job to test those boundaries.
Yes.
To see if you really mean what you say. And, you know, they're not getting their way. So one of the ways to test that is to throw a temper tantrum or cry or get angry. And parents, we do it as adults. And I always say, gosh, I wish I could just be disappointed instead of getting angry. Sometimes when I'm just so disappointed, instead of just feeling sad about it, I can get so angry. And I think that is so immature. When I'm disappointed, I wish I could just feel the disappointment instead of feeling anger about it. And kids so often go right to that anger. And that's a test, really, for us. They're saying, do you really mean that? If I pitch a commotion, you'll change your mind, won't you? And that's where we've really got to stand firm and say, I know this hurts you, but I want to let you know no matter how mad you get, I'm not changing this. Because this is for the best. And I want you to trust that I mean what I say, which is very important. Mean what you say.
Well, what happens with that is that if parents are using anger, guilt, or nagging mm-hmm. as the consequence to
right.
their child not honoring the boundary of the limit, I told you to do your homework,
right?
Or you wouldn't get to go to Wet n Wild,
uh-huh.
Or clean your room, whatever it is, then then the anger is not an effective boundary or limit. The child doesn't know what to do with that. And
it's harmful.
It's harmful to the relationship. Mm-hmm. So the child then thinks their problem is that they've got an angry mother. And you have to remove yourself as the problem and let mm-hmm. them feel the real problem as the problem. Their choice to not do something they were supposed to do or do something they weren't mm-hmm. supposed to do. And then the problem is their problem. They need to feel that instead of to experience the parent as the problem, having an angry mom or a nagging mom. Because then, what they yeah. learn is to tune you out.
Right. The emotion becomes the problem.
Yes.
Instead of what they've done. And that can be hard. But the more you realize that, you know, they're going to have to choose. And if they choose badly, you already know what's going to happen. So you don't get as angry. I can sit there and say, listen, you made the choice. And because of that, you cannot go to the sleepover. You knew that ahead of time. But if you did not do what you were told, then you couldn't go to the sleepover. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ugh, but I forgot. I know that was the choice, but I forgot. I didn't make the choice. I just forgot. And then I have to say, I know, I realize that, but I can't change the consequence just because you forgot about it. Because then you won't think I mean what I say. And it can be tough. And yet they respect you so much when you do that. When you don't do what you say you're going to do, moms tend to do that a lot because we're so nice and so sweet and so loving. The dads often don't do that.
Yeah.
That's why they seem to be the mean one. We very often give in. We say ahead of time what we're going to do, and it's great, and it's usually perfect. But where we blow it is following through on that. And I tell you, teenagers, they'll say straight out, they don't ever do it. You know, I'll get my car back in a day. And I ask them if they respect them. They go, no. They won't exactly know why they don't respect them, but they don't. And the parents who are consistent and they have consequences and they're more solid and stricter boundary setters, the kids really do respect them. Now, they don't necessarily like the boundaries or the consequences, but they know what they are and they know what they're supposed to do and they know what their parents are going to do if they don't do it. So that helps them be able to choose, because it's not really a clear choice if you don't exactly know. But if you think this is the consequence, the car's going to be taken away, but maybe it's not if I throw a big enough temper tantrum or I beg enough, well, then the choice is it's foggy then. It doesn't seem so clear. It's much more complicated than just making it real simple, this or this, and then following through on both. Can you tell them the difference, though, with nagging? How do you, between anger and nagging, what's the difference?
Nagging would be continually reminding them, it's time to get up. It's an hour before you need to leave for school and come back 10 minutes later. Told you, you know, it's time to get up. You're running out of time. 30 minutes,
so they,
you know.
And the volume gets
yes.
higher and
yes.
higher.
So you start out with nagging, but then eventually you end up with a high level of anger built up in you, anxiety built up in you.
Uh-huh.
And so you dump that on them. Well, they don't see them getting up late as the problem. They mm-hmm. see an angry mom as the
right.
problem. Whereas if you say, you know, if you're ready for school, when I'm ready to leave for work, I will drive you. If you're not, you'll have to walk. Chances are you'll be late.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to stay after school because you were tardy. So then they can choose. They can be late, but they have to suffer the consequences. Mm-hmm. And that teaches more how real life works. And it protects the relationship.
Well, you know, I have a friend who, she does this with her child. And in the beginning, I thought, God, that's kind of tough. They have an alarm in her room. And so when the alarm goes off, she gets up, she's supposed to get dressed and get all ready and then come downstairs where her mom has breakfast ready. Well, if the mom gets breakfast ready and she doesn't come down, then she knows she's not awake and she goes up and gets her. Well, then she has to get ready and they leave. She doesn't get breakfast. And so that child in kindergarten is when they started it. And by the end of kindergarten, she was getting herself up, getting dressed, getting all ready and all her stuff in her backpack. And then coming down for breakfast, and I was very impressed.
Yeah,
my kid,
too.
I'm like, Ashley, I'm getting her dressed, and I'm helping her to the bathroom. I mean, I was pretty impressed with that. My kids, I do some of that in that they get breakfast in the car, which is just like a Nutrigrain bar or something. And so breakfast at home is usually a lot better. But I have a hard time sending them off to school without some food. And yet, her children do a lot better than my children. Can you tell us in your opinion, what would be the main thing in everything that we've said to kind of sum it up? I know you mentioned control, that it's much better to teach self-control than just control the child. Is there anything else?
To remember that with every interaction, every situation you're dealing with the child, you're teaching them something about life. Are you really teaching them reality about mm-hmm. the way life works that's going right. to help them, like building self-control? And the other thing is that anger, nagging, and guilt messages are not consequences that do teach the way reality and life works. So right. consequences need to be related to whatever the boundary is.
Mm-hmm.
And that saying, if you choose to get ready on time, then you choose to go to school right. with me when I can drop you off. If you choose not to get up on time, then you will have to walk. It's your choice. And then their choice becomes the issue.
Which is where the self-control comes in.
Yes.
But if you're sending guilt messages and you're manipulating them to get them to choose, then they don't really have the freedom to choose. It's
yes.
not as clear.
Yes.
So that's, we just want to let you know that at Cornerstone, we do teach boundaries groups a lot and boundaries with kids. Sharon does them too. And so helping you apply all that, that's the hardest thing. Our last group, we just applied and applied. And then we have advanced boundaries group for the pros. And it's really just an ongoing process. So we just really wish you luck there. And we hope you've learned from today. And we thank you so much for watching Living Well. And thank
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.